What's the key to hypocrisy? Just what he says in Romans 2. They say things, but they don't do them. Oh, listen up. They sit themselves in the pulpit, you know. They've got a lot to say, but he said, don't do what they do. Just do what they say, because they're hypocrites. They say things, but they don't do them. That's the key to understanding hypocrisy. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with as much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the places of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called by men rabbi. He says, oh, look at them. They love to tie up heavy loads. You know, one of the great reasons for fallout in Christianity is that kind of hypocrisy.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part one of a message titled, Religious Hypocrisy. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Father, as we turn to your word now, I pray that you would take distraction from us, help us to hear, and not merely hear, but act on what we hear. As your son said so often, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I pray that we would be hearers of your word, and not merely hearers, but doers of your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would use the sharp two-edged sword of your word in our hearts and lives right now. And I pray that the result would be that Jesus Christ would be exalted right here in this room and also in our individual lives as we go from this room. We pray in his matchless name, Jesus. Amen. We sang, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And before Paul can lay the foundation of Jesus Christ, no man can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, he says in Corinthians 3. And I think he lays the foundation of Christ more fully and more clearly and more systematically, more thoroughly in the book of Romans, chapter 3:21, all the way through chapter 5:21, than any other place in the Bible. In fact, I hesitate to stop at the end of 5. From 3:21 all the way through the end of chapter 8, in one sense, all the way through the end of chapter 11, Paul is laying that foundation of Jesus Christ. And I'm eager to get there. But before he can lay that foundation, he must clear away the debris and the things that would be in the way of the foundation, man's self-righteousness. Because the great emphasis of Romans and the great emphasis of the gospel is that God is righteous. We can be right with God. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. But as long as we're occupied with our own righteousness, we're not ready to hear of God's righteousness. And if ever there were a day where men are occupied with themselves and their self-righteousness and self-absorbed, it's our day. Hence, a lot of our evangelism misses the point because we tell people God loves them and they say, well, yeah, why not? The arrogance of our day. Even as we see all around us, you don't have to look too far. In the headlines, you see the wreckage of the human condition. You look within our own lives, our personal lives, and the emptiness. You look within our own family units, our inability to get along with those the very closest to us. Everywhere you look, you should see sin. And we should be humbled. But our generation is fairly self-occupied. And hence, I really make no apology for spending some real time in chapter 1, 2, and the first part of 3 of Romans. And we're going to look at chapter 2, starting at verse 17. Chapter 2, he is laboring to show that men, all men, are without excuse. Somebody said as we neared the end of chapter 1, are we just about done with 1, you know? And I said, yeah. But in my mind, I thought to myself, if you thought 1 was tough, 2 is, in many senses, tougher, especially on those who sit in church, you know? And fancy ourselves, I mean, you're here, aren't you? You must be sort of religious anyway. Chapter 2 is harder to hear sometimes than chapter 1 for those of us who might fancy ourselves better than the blatant, open sinners and the immorality and the idolatry and the perversion of chapter 1. And so chapter 2, he is laboring to show that we are without excuse. Whether we're the open sinners of chapter 1 or the more sophisticated, self-righteous, hypocritical sinners of chapter 2. In other words, those who try to convince themselves, others, and even God that they're really not so bad after all. If you're here and you're thinking of yourself, I tend to read the sports page, and I saw they had yet another memorial service for Joe DiMaggio, and picture of the Yankee great sitting there, one big happy family, you know, Steinbrenner and all the other Yankees on the front row, and the mayor and Henry Kissinger and all the notables that were there at the funeral. And the cardinal, in speaking of Joe, he said, my dad liked Joe. And he said, and he paid him the highest accolade that could be paid another man. I thought, whoa, the highest accolade that could be paid another man. And what was it? Joe was a decent sort of guy. I thought, what a mixture of man's humanism and his religion all in one big bucket. The highest accolade that could be paid a man, he's a decent guy. And you know, that's where a lot of people live, just think, well, in the end, we're pretty good. And he was a pretty decent guy. And we tend to talk that way. We need to listen carefully to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, we saw 7 great general principles of judgment. God's judgment will be according to truth. It won't be just what people thought. It'll be according to truth, verse 2. It will be righteous, verse 5. It will be inevitable. You can't escape it, verses 3 through 5. It will be according to reality, not mere profession, verses 6 through 11. And it will be according to the light a man has, not according to what he doesn't have, verses 12 through 15. God won't hold a man to a higher standard than he ought to. Don't you worry about it. Every man, though, will be without excuse, whether he has known much or little of God's light, if he hasn't responded to it. And then verse 16, we saw that his judgment will be absolutely thorough. Nothing will get by. Jesus said, everything hidden will be exposed. Everything you whispered will be shouted on the rooftops. And then the 7th principle, still in verse 16, the judgment of God will come through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 5:22, not even the Father judges anyone. He has given all judgment to the Son. Now, those general principles of judgment are applied in verse 17 through 29, specifically to religionists. Specifically to religionists, those who would trust in religion or religious observances. And specifically, verse 17, if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God. Specifically, of course, he's talking about Jews. But generally speaking, we can apply this not just to Jewish religionists, but to all religionists. And in fact, I would think that the best thing to do is to hear what he's saying about the Jews and keep thinking, Jew or Gentile, whatever your background, keep applying it to yourself. And in fact, you can even put in quotes and use the term Christian, if you will, because there are many who claim to be Christian who are not. And when I use the term in that way, I'm saying, if you bear the name Christian, then listen up. And we should let this sink in to our hearts, because not all who claim to be Christians are, obviously. Not all who claim to know the Lord do. Not all who claim Christ outwardly and verbally with lip service really are in right relationship to Christ. So let it apply very specifically to you. Now, religionists are without excuse, verses 17 through 29. Just like the open sinners are without excuse, chapter 1. Just like the moralist is without excuse in the verse 16 verses. Now he says religionists are without excuse. And if I were to break it down further, and we will next time, 17 through 24, religionists are without excuse because of their hypocrisy. That's what we're going to look at today. 25 through 29, and really following into chapter 3, the argument isn't over really, but religionists are without excuse because of their trust in rites and ceremonies rather than God himself. So you can kind of keep that in mind. Let's read our text. If you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Religionists are without excuse because of their hypocrisy. I don't know of anyone who likes hypocrisy in any realm. Do you? In any realm. It's hard, is it not, to be lectured by our president on what the moral thing to do is? It's even harder to be led by him on moral missions, is it not? Whether it's in the highest offices or the man on the street, hypocrisy is disgusting. Saying one thing and doing another. Making a pretense of something but hiding something else. Hypocrisy, universally, is dislike. It's disgusting to man. Our culture, and every culture has it, but you used to have to go a little further from Christian light. We've had an awful lot of light in this country, and hence there were some standards that we held to. And so when you'd travel and move into other places and find out that the one who was in charge of the law was also breaking the law constantly, the corruption of officials, the bribery, that sort of thing, it was seen as, and still in parts of our world, that's just the norm, but it's disgusting to anyone who has a standard of righteousness. And of course, we see it more and more in our own culture as we have turned further and further from God's standards of righteousness, because we can still make a pretense. And we're good at photo ops and that sort of thing, carrying Bibles and praying in public and calling for prayer, etc. But in reality, hypocrisy is very, very real, and it permeates into every aspect. And so whether you see it in the public realm or in personal lives, it's disgusting. But if that's true just generally, what should we say about religious hypocrisy? I mean real religious hypocrisy, the kind he describes here in verse 17 and following. It's particularly galling. Man sees through it, at least part of the time. And when you see Christian leaders who bear the name Christian and leader and pastor, and yet we find out that they're involved in the very sins he talks about here. The name of God is blasphemed by that. People scorn the name of Christ when they see this kind of thing. And to God, it is hateful. And I use those terms. I don't throw them out lightly. I think you'll see as we look at some scripture that God hates it. If we muster up some self, you know, some righteous indignation, just think how much the righteous one really hates hypocrisy. And Paul minces no words here. It basically, you say, well, what is it? Well, it's assuming, when you stop and think about it, hypocrisy, religious hypocrisy is assuming that you can fool God. Might be trusting in labels. If you bear the name Jew, he says, and rely upon that, basically. You bear the name Christian, you bear the name Baptist, you bear the name Catholic. You trust a label rather than the inward reality. You trust knowledge rather than acting on that knowledge. And by the way, verse 13, what we saw last week, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. It isn't the knowledge that will save you, he says. In one sense, that general principle is just expounded here in verses 17 through 24, in a religious way to just see. But you know, God hates it, and you say, does he really? I mean, are you just saying that? Are you just to make it a point to kind of emphasize something? Turn over to Matthew. Our Lord, turn to Matthew. A couple of passages in Matthew I want you to look at. Our Lord reserves some of his strongest language for religious hypocrites. I want us to look at two of them just briefly. Matthew 15. Have you ever had someone look you in the eye and say, "You hypocrite"? Our Lord said that on several occasions. Matthew 15 is one of them. Verse 7. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Let me just, with that, and you remember the account there, they came to Jesus and they said, hey, how come your disciples don't wash their hands in the ceremonial way that they devised? They weren't worried about personal hygiene, let me tell you. They were all worried about some religious observances that they felt made a man right before he ate. If you did all this, then you were pretty much clean. You could do what you wanted then. And Jesus is going to show them that it's not what enters the man that defiles the man, it's what comes out of the man that defiles the man. Eating with unwashed hands in that ceremonial way is not the issue at all. But they were occupied with the external. Mark it down first. Hypocrites tend to be occupied with the outward observance. I go to church, I pay my dues, I've done my baptism, I've done this, I've done that. They're occupied with the outward. Okay? Secondly, verse 8, they honor me, he says, with their lips. A lot of talk with hypocrisy. A lot of lip service. Third, no heart. But their heart is far away from me. Lip service, but no heart. Fourth, verse 9, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of man. Instead of the word of God, teaching the word of man. By the way, you say, well, no, these religious hypocrites, they were holding the Bible. Yeah, they were. But you see, they were misinterpreting it, and they were interpreting it. They were basically ending up teaching their own ideas rather than the ideas of God. And so whether you're in Romans 2 or here in Matthew 15, or you take the whole Sermon on the Mount, for instance, and Jesus was saying, you guys say, and then they would quote and misapply Scripture, and then he'd say what the Scripture really meant. And so hypocrites, they might handle Scripture, and these Pharisees, oh, they memorized Scripture, they could rattle it off, and they did. But they really taught the precepts of man. And that is typical with hypocrites. And notice it leads, verse 9, to vain worship, absolutely worthless. That's what that word means. In vain do they worship me. You can worship and worship and worship if you've got a hypocritical heart. and it's vain worship. No matter how many ceremonies, outward rituals, washings of hands and bodies and all the other things, it's vain, he says. Turn over to Matthew 23. Listen to our Lord over there. I repeat it. Have you ever had someone say to you, "You hypocrite"? That is a strong statement, is it not? And our Lord said it 7 times in Matthew 23 alone. Woe to you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites, he said. He calls them blind guides, fools, serpents, broods of vipers, whitewashed tombs. I mean, this chapter, read it sometime, but 7 times he pronounces woe on them. Verse 13, 14, 15, and etc. You will see him say, "You hypocrites." But notice, listen to the first few verses. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." What's the key to hypocrisy? Well, pretty simple. Just what he says in Romans 2. They say things, but they don't do them. Oh, listen up. They sit themselves in the pulpits, you know. They've got a lot to say, but he said, don't do what they do. Just do what they say, because they're hypocrites. They say things, but they don't do them. That's the key to understanding hypocrisy. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with as much as a finger. But they do all their deeds and to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the places of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called by men rabbi. He says, oh, look at them. They love to tie up heavy loads. You know, one of the great reasons for fallout in Christianity is that kind of hypocrisy. And in fact, I'll bring it closer to home, parents. No one will see hypocrisy more clearly and more thoroughly than your children. And we wonder sometimes, and you say, well, I loaded them up with plenty to... We had rules. Yeah. Hypocrisy will be seen. And that putting on a show outwardly, but at home, on the home front, they see a little bit closer to the reality. Don't be called, verse 8, rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And don't call anyone on earth your father. And millions do, don't they? For one is your father who's in heaven. And don't be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. God will see the reality.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Religious Hypocrisy, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 a.m. It's best to check the 800 a.m. program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to RomansProject.org or connect with us at Facebook.com/RomansProject. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station, and we invite you to DowntownBible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Oh, it's a serious thing to make a false profession and then live in hypocrisy. But Romans 2 talks about the result, the sad and sure result. Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The world can see right through hypocrisy. The name of God is blasphemed among the outsiders, among the Gentiles, because of you. Oh, do we see that? Every time, the world will be quick to see it, and almost rightfully, it seems, shake their head when they see the hypocrisy. Oh, beware of hypocrisy. You know, it's particularly solemn for leaders, teachers, those who stand in pulpits.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled Religious Hypocrisy. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.